Let's continue this spirit of worship by opening up God's Word to Psalm 144. We're in this eight-week series through these later Psalms of David. In fact, this is week 7 of 8. And the point of all this has been that we can draw close to God. I hope as we've looked at the prayer life of David, you've been sensing that I could know God better than I've known him. I can draw closer than perhaps that I've realized before. So I hope you're taking those steps. And today, another message with that as the goal. Well, we've been in this building program for now over a year. And so we've had a chance to consider foundations. Now, admittedly, I was excited in our building campaign when the wall started going up. And now, you know, we're nearing completion. Sometime this summer, Lord willing, this building will be ready and the parking lot will be ready and we'll be taking occupancy. But that's exciting to see things going up. But it was also impressive months and months ago now when they were preparing a foundation. I learned some new phrases. They used the phrase good dirt during that and bad dirt. I didn't know until this project that there's such a thing as bad dirt. You don't build on bad dirt. You need good dirt brought in, the old taken out. But I did know these words, rebar. I knew that word. And concrete and pillars. And so watching that week after week of prepping a foundation made me realize they were building this building to last. It is strong. So buildings need a strong foundation. You know, people need strong foundations as well. So I want to ask you today, are you strong? Are you strong? And maybe a better question is, what is the basis of your strength? Or where does your strength lie? You might be here today and you say, Jim, I'll tell you where my strength comes from. My body. I am fit and I'm strong. Listen, if that's you, congratulations. That's impressive. But you do know that it won't last forever. Or maybe you said, no, it's my superior intellect, Jim. I'm smarter than average and I put my confidence on my brain. Congratulations. I hope you get lots of awards for that. Ribbons and tassels and all that. But you do know that mind won't always be as sharp as it may be right now. Or maybe it's your friends. I have such a great group of friends around me. They are the foundation of my life. I'm happy about your friendships. We need good friends. But they may not always be with you. And so you need a better foundation than anything you can put together for yourself. And here's the good news, as always. God has made that foundation available to you. A better foundation is available. And so my prayer today is that you will put your trust in the Lord. The God who made you is offering to save you and be the very strength of your life. Paul said it this way in Ephesians 6. He said, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. But now I want you to see how David describes it here in Psalm 144. Pick up with me in verse 1. Blessed be the Lord, my rock, who trains my hands for war and my fingers for battle. My loving kindness and my fortress, my stronghold and my deliverer, my shield, and he in whom I take refuge, who subdues my people under me. Here David begins Psalm 144, and he begins like he so often does with a word of praise, and he's particularly calling out his confidence in God. He makes it clear where his foundation is. Oh, I'm trusting in somebody other than me. And he starts off with this phrase, blessed be the Lord. That's interesting because a lot of times when we hear the word blessing, it's something we're seeking from God. God, I need you to bless me. I need you to give me things that I don't have so that I can make it. Bless me, Father. But oftentimes in Scripture, we also see it flipped, where these words are things like, bless the Lord, O my soul. Or here, as David says, blessed be the Lord. What does that mean? Well, it certainly doesn't mean that we can bless God like he blesses us. It's not like we can give God something that he needs, because God doesn't need anything. And there's nothing we could give, because we know that anything we could offer to God, he first gave it to us. And so it can't mean that. So what does it mean to bless the Lord? It simply means that I'm praising God. It simply means that I'm giving thanks to him, and David's doing it here in a strong way. Here he is, the king of Israel. He's a military leader, and so in the context we know of David's reign, he had many battles to fight. And so here's a psalm where he's giving thanks to God for past victories, but also confidence in God for future victories as well. And so he pours out words to let us know who God is to him. And these are strong words. These are military words. Notice words like this: rock, fortress, stronghold, deliverer, shield. And I love how personal David is here as he describes it. He says, you're my rock, you're my fortress, my stronghold, my deliverer, my shield. So if you're a child of God, you can speak that way. God is my strength. He's my help. Now, it's fun to witness powerful things, isn't it? Some of you have your vacation plans, and you're mountain people, and so you're thinking, I can't wait to get to the mountains, and I'm going to see the majesty of these mountains, and I'll be awed by that. Some of you are beach people, and you're going to take your vacation to the beach, and you're just going to be awed by crashing waves just rolling in over and over again. But have you ever been to one of those sporting events, perhaps, where they have the military flyover? That can be an awesome moment. Except for sometimes they do that vintage plane flyover, and that's nice. That's nice where the old propeller planes come flying over, and you just think that's nice as they go over. I prefer when you have the experience of like four fighter jets just blasting by you. And the sound catches up sometimes later, and your chest shakes, and your feet kind of shake on the ground. And then that's an awesome moment where you go, whoa, that's power. And you think it's just a small taste of the power of our military. There's four planes, and there are thousands of those. And you have that sense of, that's powerful, and you have a sense of gratitude. I'm glad I'm on the side of that power. I'm glad that power is not opposed to me. We could speak this way. Those are our jets. That's for me, not against me. Listen, when you know God personally, you can speak of the power of God with great delight like that. Just like David does. Oh, you're my shield. Can you imagine? You're my stronghold. You're my fortress. I take refuge in you. Listen, you can know God like this if you know God personally, and your move there is to put your faith in his son, Jesus. Don't trust in yourself. Trust in Jesus. God becomes your father, and you can feel this secure in him. Now, think about it. If you know God as your stronghold, your shield, that should flood you with confidence and courage even in this world. So ask yourself, where would timidity fall in my life if I know that God himself is my fortress? Why would I be scared of anything? You do know there's no other rival superpower to our God. I understand in our world, we talk about America, we talk about China, we talk about Russia, and what are these balancing powers? Oh, but God is in a class all by himself. We would be mistaken if we thought, well, Satan is the other. He's no superpower. He's a created being. He's a danger to us, but not if we're tucked into Christ. And so we can speak with great confidence when we know our God. So if God is your shield through your faith in Jesus, nothing can touch you that our sovereign God does not allow to come into your life. So negative things can happen in your life, but you're not thrown off your foundation. You know, all right, God is sovereign. He has allowed that into my life. I'm going to trust him through this. When God is your fortress, you can have that same kind of confidence. So a fortress is a place that you run to for safety. And better than that for us, that our fortress is not a place. He is a person, and he is always with you, and he's even in you by his Holy Spirit. So Paul expressed this confidence in Romans 8:31. If God is for us, who's against us? Listen, that's the right type of thinking. You can know God like this, so that when God is your shield, he's your strength, then you can go to school. And even if you're the only person at your school who loves Jesus, listen, I'm not alone here, as our choir sang. I know God is with me. I can be strong in him. I'm not timid, even if I'm the only one standing for Jesus. Or maybe it's in your family. Everybody else in your family is maybe nominal Christian at best, just cultural Christians. There's no heart there. Maybe you're the only disciple in your family, and nevertheless, you have God with you. You say, I'm confident even there. I'm not going to be obnoxious. I'm going to be confident in the joy of the Lord because I know he is my shield. And if God were to call you, like he does so many, to go to another culture with his gospel, oh, you can be there knowing I'm not alone. God is my stronghold. I am with him and he is with me. So let's just talk about the opposite. What if you said today, no, I don't want God to be my foundation. I don't want him to be my fortress. Can I ask you, who would you put in that place? Is there anybody better to have that role in your life? So if God's not going to be your fortress, who is? If God's not going to be your rock, who would you say, well, this person's going to be my rock instead of Jesus. This person's going to be my stronghold, or this thing is going to be my deliverer. No, build your life on Christ. Follow hard after Christ. Be courageous in him. Because listen, you might be here today and you think, I know that information about God. I know that that could be true, but I don't really act like it. That would mean that God is more of your mascot than his rightful place in your life. So you remember back in high school, some of you it's still to come, but some of you it's past. And remember your high school mascot? So around here we have Jaguars and Panthers and Eagles and others. And those are cool. It's fun to have a mascot. Mine, growing up in Rocky Mountain, North Carolina, mine was the Griffons. Busch Gardens calls it a griffin. It's that eagle-lion mixture, mythical creature. And so we were the Griffons, and we felt some pride in that because nobody else was a Griffon. And we would have those pep rallies, and the cheerleaders and others would have these chants that we are the mighty, mighty Griffons. I still remember the chant. I won't give it to you like they did it, but we're the mighty, mighty Griffons. And, you know, you feel pretty puffed up there in the pep rally, and I suppose on the sidelines, you know, we're the Griffons. The problem is, it's just not true. We weren't really Griffons. They don't exist, by the way. And we're just a bunch of 15, 16, 17, 18-year-old kids calling ourselves Griffons. And it didn't give us any swagger out on the streets. Like, hey, we're Griffons. I mean, and aren't you glad as your pastor, I don't bring it up all the time. You know, you do know I'm a mighty, mighty Griffon. You know, there's no confidence there. But you could be that way about God. You could be here going, I know the right answers. I know he's a fortress, a stronghold, a shield. I know that. But you act like it's not real. David's not modeling that for us. He is my shield, and he's living like it. He's my stronghold. Listen, this changes you when you know God personally. The point, again, of this whole series is you can know God like this. David, just a guy like us, a man with failures, as we know the Bible records, and yet he's got this right. I'm trusting in God. I know he is this to me. Now, here's the way to test today whether or not Jesus is just a mascot to you or he really is your shield, the foundation, the stronghold of your life. And it is this: do you follow him? Do you trust him and do you follow him? Jesus talked about how people relate to him is either you're building your life on him or you're not by how you handle his word. So for instance, Jesus told in Matthew 7 about two different types of people. There's the type of person who would hear the word of God and act on them. That's a person who builds his house on a rock, and when the storms come, he will not fall. But there's that other person who hears the things of God and does not put them in practice. He says, that's like a person who built his house upon the sand, and when the storm comes, great was its fall. Is he your mascot, or is he truly God? Is he really the stronghold? Are you building your life on him? Listen, Jesus is not your lucky rock that you tuck in your pocket. That would be idolatry. No, he's the one upon whom you build your life. Now, notice this. David's been talking about how strong God is and how much confidence he has in him. But then he throws this in there, and it almost seems out of place, but it's so wonderful. He says, and he loves you. This awesome God loves you. Notice verse 2. He describes God in the midst of all these strong military terms. He calls him my loving kindness. The English Standard Version says, my steadfast love. The NIV says, my loving God. That really, if you think about it, that gives you just as much confidence as all the strong military words, rock, fortress, shield. He is that, but that amazing rock, that amazing God, all omnipotent God, he loves us. So it's one thing to behold a power. It's another thing, though, and he's for me. That awesome, powerful one actually loves me. So I've told you before kind of what goes on in my personal time with God in the mornings. And so I have my time reading the Word of God over here, and then I pivot into praying to God. And I still have some other scriptures that I want to meditate on and pray back to God each day. So I've shared with you about James 4 is one of those passages, but also Galatians 2:20. And I want you to hear how this helps me every day. First of all, it reminds me that the old me's dead and that Jesus is alive in me, but also that he loves me. Isn't it a good reminder every day that, oh yeah, this isn't some duties I'm doing. These aren't duties I'm doing, but he actually loves me. So Galatians 2:20, listen to this. I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Now catch this. Who loved me and gave himself up for me. Man, so good. This isn't about me. Old me's dead. Jesus has given me a new life. And oh, yes, he does love us. So critical. So David here just is expressing his confidence in God, but now he expresses his humility before God. Notice verse 3. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? Man is a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. Here in David, here in Psalm 144, we see something almost rare in our day. Here's a guy who is both confident and humble at the same time. Typically in our culture, when we see somebody confident, we don't see humility. We see confident and arrogant, but not the man of God, not the woman of God. So we look at David here, and he models for us, oh, I'm confident and humble because my confidence isn't in me. God's my shield. He's not strutting and pounding his chest about who he is. Oh, God, you're the amazing one. But what am I? And I love it here. Who am I? Who are we? Look at verse 3 again. O Lord, what is man that you take knowledge of him, or the son of man that you think of him? God, why are you even thinking about people like us? Man is like a mere breath. His days are like a passing shadow. What humility there. What a right assessment of himself in relation to God. So this humility is a key part of our relating to God as we ought to. This is healthy for us. Lord, I'm small, but you're great. God, by nature, I'm unrighteous. You alone are righteous. God, I'm finite. And Lord, you are infinite. Father, you're absolutely eternal. And I'm like a mere breath. My time on this earth is going to be so short. I'm just like a passing shadow on the earth. So David here, he's amazed that God would care for him like this. He's amazed that he could call on the omnipotent, omniscient God and say, you're mine. So he's awed by it, but he's not doubting it. I know this is true. So this right humility, this shifting of confidence to God just causes greater and greater joy in our lives. So we're not people going, think, of course God loves me. Of course God's all that to me. No, we should be stunned by that and delight in it like David does here. So do you know your smallness this morning? Do you know that about you? How small you are. Have you ever seen those images from outer space on the earth? Or even those presentations where they kind of give you the visual of here's the earth and you're on it and it looks so big and beautiful, the earth. And then they pan back that view from space and the earth seems to get smaller and smaller from that perspective. And then they just go to distant space and the earth now becomes almost imperceptible. It's so small. And then you think, oh my, this universe is vast and this earth is so small. And then you have that moment where you think, and I'm on that tiny planet. And what am I on this tiny? I'm just a dot on here. And then to marvel like David does. And God, you notice me. God, you even know my name. What are we that you would even think about us? And then if we think the gospel, and God, you would give your son to die for the sins of those living on the earth. There's just nobody like God. There's our confidence in God. So do you know your smallness and his greatness? Do you know the brevity of your life? Because David goes there as well. I'm a mere breath. He talks about this elsewhere. In Psalm 39:4, he says, Lord, make me to know my end and what is the extent of my days. Let me know how transient I am. Moses talked this way. One of his psalms is recorded. Psalm 90, verse 12. Moses said, so teach us to number our days so that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. So we're only on this earth a few days compared to eternity. And we are small, and yet here God is. He knows us, and he loves us. It's amazing. So here it is, Father's Day. And again, fathers, congratulations on your day, and we honor you. And let me ask a question. Those of you who are dads, why do you love your children? Why do you protect your children? Why do you want to provide for your children? It is simply because you love them. It's not because they're so strong on their own. They're so powerful. They've got it all. No, it's the opposite. David's stunned by us. God, you would have mercy on us. You would love us. You would be this for us. But yeah, we're the same way. We look at our children and go, I love you because you're weak. I'm going to step in and provide and protect for you because you can't do that. And so that's the role. And this is our Heavenly Father saying that. Yeah, I know your life on this earth is short and passing. And I love you. I know you're small compared to the universe, but I love you, and I'm going to take care of you. And if you put your faith in my son, I'm going to give you everlasting life with me. That's the amazing love and grace of God. And so here's David. He's praising God. And real quickly, we see him also pleading to God for some things. Two things he asks God. First of all, he pleads for a rescue. And we've seen David do that a lot in this series. Look at verse 5. He makes a plea for rescue. Bow your heavens, O Lord, and come down, touch the mountains that they may smoke. Flash forth lightning and scatter them. Send out your arrows and confuse them. Stretch forth your hand from on high. Rescue me and deliver me out of great waters, out of the hand of aliens whose mouths speak deceit and whose right hand is the right hand of falsehood. Verse 9, I will sing a new song to you, O God. Upon a harp of 10 strings, I will sing praises to you, who gives salvation to kings, who rescues David, his servant, from the evil sword. Rescue me and deliver me out of the hand of aliens whose mouth speaks deceit and whose right hand is a right hand of falsehood. So David here asking for God's deliverance once again, and he mixes it, as he so often does, with praise. Did you notice right in the middle of all this, help me, make the mountain smoke, send your arrows. He goes, I'm going to sing you, God, a new song. I'm even going to play an instrument, and I'm going to sing praises to you. You know, you and I can know God like this, that even when things feel like they're going all wrong in our lives, we can be crying out for deliverance and help while praising God at the same time. We can certainly do that. When you get that bad diagnosis, you can still be praising God even as you're asking for healing in your body. When you feel like you're under attack, or not just feel like it, when you are under attack, you can still praise God at the same time. Or when you're disappointed, you can still sing praise to God, because God is still to be trusted. There's still nobody like him. He is the foundation and the provider of your life. And so, like David does here, we should always size up our God before we size up our problems. You're my fortress, you're my strength, you're my stronghold. Now I pivot to my problems and I go, I can face that. I know him. I'm not intimidated by anything when I know him and I'm in right relationship with our God. We can be confident like that. You can know God like this. David, he's pleading to God for a rescue, but then he pleads to God for blessing. Look at verse 12. Let our sons in their youth be as grown-up plants, and our daughters as corner pillars fashioned as for a palace. Let our garners be full, furnishing every kind of produce, and our flocks bring forth thousands and ten thousands in our fields. Let our cattle bear without mishap and without loss. Let there be no outcry in our streets. David, writing as the king of Israel, God, I'm asking for your blessings on this nation, on your people. That's what he's asking. And may our young men be strong and healthy. May our young women be strong and healthy. May our fields produce a lot. And may our flocks keep increasing. And may there be no disturbances on our streets. That's the right way you'd want a king to pray. And it reminds us it's okay for us to also ask for blessings and success in the things that we do. Now, we rightly call out the prosperity preachers, that false doctrine that if you believe right and confess right, you're going to be rich and healthy always. We say that's a false doctrine. Never promised that. But let's not overcorrect and act like, well, I should never ask God to help me, bless me, heal me. I should never ask him to really prosper the business I'm in. No, that would be overcorrecting to something also not false. God can bless you physically. Aren't you glad? That's why we pray, God, please heal me, make me healthy, make me well. We should pray that. And God can bless us materially. And we are right to ask our Father to provide for us. But here's where we need to land. But God, I'm okay however you choose to answer. I'm not going to bark commands at you. You must bless me in this way. But we are right, and David models it, that, Lord, I need to ask you for this kind of help. God can answer either way. And so what happens for us is we need to have an all-terrain faith. However you choose to answer, whether I'm in adversity or in plenty, God, I'm going to trust you and sing praises to you and rejoice in you because you are worthy and you are the foundation of my life. So God can bless either way. And do you know he can bless you in adversity? Do you know he can even bless you with adversity? It never feels like it. I don't prefer adversity, but I was just thinking about it this week, that just looking back at times of adversity in my life, I think God blessed me with that adversity. I think in every case. The example that's in the forefront of my mind is going through financial struggles, especially newly married, and those 3 years of seminary, and those first 3 years pastoring in Alabama, really struggling financially. That's years of struggling financially. And I look back now and think, he blessed us by letting us struggle. So to eke by for years, it didn't feel like a blessing, not a day of it. But looking back, you learn some things about God that way that you don't learn any other way. So from this vantage point, looking back, that was a blessing. To learn to trust in God like that day in, day out. I was asking him for more. Lord, please. I remember shopping in the supermarket and I'd have our meager stuff in the cart and I'd watch those people piled up, maybe needing two carts sometimes, like, oh man, that must be nice, you know. All those struggles and fighting and winning over envy and all those things, you learn a lot. I bet you could do the same thing. Those things God brought you through, you think, I actually think now, in hindsight, he was blessing me in that adversity. He can do it. I prefer it to be better than that. Oh, but God is good. Talking to two Christian women lately in the life of our church, and this was their story, two separate occasions telling me their story, and one was telling me how she went through a severe season of depression some time back and how she thanks God now for that. Can you imagine that? One of the worst things a human go through, just that depression, you can't lift, you don't know why, you're so down, and yet she talked about the humility God brought to her through that. And how her relationship with Jesus is just so much closer now. She's able to say these words, I'm so thankful that that happened to me. Isn't that amazing, that kind of faith? Talked to the other woman who was sharing a similar story, going through just a really difficult time. And in this other woman's case, she was able to say, I realized that my childhood profession, when I was baptized, I realized through that I didn't really know Jesus personally. It was through this adversity when everything stripped away and I was having to deal with God, I realized, oh, I've never really known him, but now I do. I'm asking Jesus to be my Savior. I'm not just going through the motions now. I've come to know him. And so to be able to thank God for adversity, to see that God can even use adversity as a blessing. So let's pray both ways. God, I do pray. Help me take away my problems, but when he allows problems in, I'm going to trust you for that. One final verse 15. How blessed are the people who are so situated. Catch this. How blessed are the people whose God is the Lord. You want to be blessed, let God be your Lord. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Tell him, Lord, I want you to be my Lord, not just other people's Lord. I need you to save me, take over my life, and lead me. Be the rock of my life. When we started this message, we talked about the foundation in that building behind us there and how strong it is. And I'm grateful they seem to have done it right the first time. We're not going to have to come in later, I pray, and try to put in a new foundation. Wouldn't that be a mess? But here's the good news. Today you might be here and you recognize, I need a new foundation for my life. Listen, we can do that a lot faster than if we had to change that one. We don't have to go to the county for a permit for the Lord to do what he can do in you today. If you're just willing to say, I have been building my life on the wrong one. Lord, just tell him, I've been building my life on me. I've been trusting in me, in my mind, in my friends, in my money, whatever. I've been building my life on my quest for popularity. I don't want to do that anymore. I turn from that. That was wrong. God, I'm now trusting in you. Jesus, you're the Savior of my life. You died for me. You rose from the grave. I put all my hope in you. You now will be the foundation of my life. You'll be my shield for my life, my stronghold in my life. I'm trusting in you. I pray that you'll make that move today. Martin Luther, the great reformer, he wrote the song, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, and it was translated over into English. And I know some of this is old English, but hang with me here. I want you to hear this confidence again as we close. That you can have if you know Christ like this. Luther wrote, A mighty fortress is our God, a bulwark never failing. Our helper he amid the flood of mortal ills prevailing. For still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power are great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Did we in our own strength confide, our striving would be losing. We're not the right man on our side, the man of God's own choosing. Dost ask who that may be? Christ Jesus, it is he. Lord Sabaoth, his name, from age to age the same. For he must win the battle. And though this world with devils filled should threaten to undo us, we will not fear, for God hath willed his truth to triumph through us. The prince of darkness grim, we tremble not for him. His rage we can endure, for lo, his doom is sure. One little word will fell him. That word above all earthly powers, no thanks to them, abideth. The spirit and the gifts are ours through him who with us sideth. Let goods and kindred go. This mortal life also, the body they may kill, God's truth abideth still. His kingdom is forever. Let's pray.